school health advisory committee meeting. This meeting, the agenda isn't very big this time. We're mostly going to be discussing the new rules and regulations for sex ed curriculum that we have to implement this school year. Mr. Hatter was not able to make it, so we won't get an update on food services, but we do have Nurse Hope here. If you'd like to give just a quick update on Wilmington campus and let us know what's going on there.
Going to elementary, pretty much I can say that all shot records are up to date as of now, and all of the screenings that are mandatory at this point are all done. And I'm starting to work on doing some educational food coming up.
Can you give Nurse Jennifer a quick update on the middle school, high school campus works?
Yes, as of now, the same, our immunizations are up to date. We are working on starting screening possibly next week. And then just continuing to try to, one of our goals is to continue to advocate for the use of bedside health. We want to start, putting that out there for some parents that can be utilized. And overall, we're just continuing to see tripling of new students pretty frequently and getting those health information and immunizations taken care of and everything's looking good.
One of the issues that we ran into this year with bedside health was getting the consent forms back. I don't know if y'all heard of that, Mom's bedside health. The telehealth service that we offer.
Yes.
So we're still doing that this year. And one of the things that we were talking about doing is doing classroom competition and passing out the consent forms. And then whatever classrooms and the most consent forms, we were going to give them a pizza party or some kind of reward to kind of try to get more participation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a really big program, but many more people send it that way we can use it.
And how the hotel works, for example, my kids have their doctor, mm-hmm. they get seen, I just make an appointment, they get seen, and what about the one that's, can I use that one too?
Yes. Yes, you can. It's and it's going to be billed through your insurance. So when you register, they'll bill your insurance. If you have private insurance or event, even if you don't have insurance, what they can do is do a copay or just a small amount based on your income. But it doesn't matter if you have a primary care doctor. It's basically like a quick care or like the telehealth. Have you ever done telehealth before?
No.
They would come in, the nurse would do a set of vitals and assess them and kind of figure out what's going on, and then initiate a visit on the computer with a doctor. The doctor will be able to talk to your student and diagnose them. They'll be able to prescribe any medications or treatments. And then, if it's something where a kid needs to go home, mom will be able to come and pick the student up, and then prescriptions and everything will be ready already. We reduce the amount of time that kids are out of school, as well as make it
easier for parents. But sometimes you can't get in that same day, or you can't, get off work and come down with the kids at the same time. So parents is welcome to come. We can have parents come up to the campus and do the visit at the same time. They're part of the visit with the kids.
They also accept Medicaid as well.
Yes.
I've done it last year. I liked it. It was easier.
It's nice and
convenient. It's no longer in Victoria. Mm-hmm. I just went to her. Last year, she was in Placido, her office, and quick feeling.
Yeah.
The prescription was,
You don't have to wait an hour at our prescription. You can do that here and just go and it's ready.
We can give basic medications. We've got Tylenol, we've got Motrin, we have Neosporin, hydrocortisone, and we've even got some Zofran and Pepto-Bismol available, and then the doctors are there and we're able to give them medicine, and sometimes kids can stay, sometimes
it's really convenient. It's something that needs to be pushed and more parents need to realize it's really good. Mm-hmm. We're pushing it throughout the region. It just helps out all the parents and kind of helps everyone else out.
Yeah, it's a lot of benefits from getting treatment sooner or no, you know.
We're trying to promote those little ones that may have a sore throat, but it's not positive for strep. They can stay in the classroom. That helps with the school not missing so much schoolwork.
Mm-hmm.
And they're able to stay, and we'll let the parent know. You can come pick the baby up afterwards at 2:30 because it's not positive, and then you can stay, and prescriptions are called in. You never have to leave your work. Yep.
So how do y'all test for strep? You just said who is not positive for strep. If it's a telehealth, how do they test for strep?
We, as nurses, we're trained from Good Side Health to test for either COVID, flu, or strep.
They're
swab kits in the little cart that they're provided. And,
okay.
So it's a great, great program.
Oh.
Very convenient. And we also see staff as well. So it's not just students. The whole program is set forth so that we could keep even our teachers on campus. We're not
That's amazing.
For any type of severe, you know, blood pressure issues or anything like that.
Right.
You have to see your regular PCP for that. But just for minor incidences,
yeah,
like cold.
You keep peace in mind, like you said, because you may think my kid may have strep, so you pull them out. And then you go get seen, and it's not, we could have saved that headache for you and stop here on campus. And you know, okay, I'm just going to treat their symptoms, but they're not contagious and they can stay at school and they can stay at work.
Yeah.
What insurance did they have to take?
Yeah. I don't think
they don't deny any insurance.
Yeah,
if for some reason you can't pay, they'll take like just a small amount of, if they don't take your insurance, they'll accept any like small donations. If you
have yeah, really
pay, it's a big program that's being.
Maybe they ask for your income.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, on the original intake paper that you have to fill out, they ask for all the information and then they set it forth. And when they get seen by them, you don't have to worry about it because, like, they could give you like a dismissal paper. Like, if you were in the office, blah, blah, like a little discharge paper.
Okay.
Discharge summer.
Let's give the train a minute to pass.
Oh,
I'm used to the train. Born and raised here.
Yeah. I speak pretty loud, so the train didn't even bother me.
Yeah. Okay, I think we're safe now.
What about, I don't, if I don't remember if I signed up for that, we can verify. So when we get into the system, you tell us your kid's name because that does happen. I don't know if I signed up. I don't know if it's like a this year or last year. We can pull up the information. It doesn't take very long. Sometimes
more than 10
minutes.
Yeah,
so let's tell them. Go ahead and register. If you're paying in, let us know when it's completed. And it's like instantaneous and we're able to see them. So even if you haven't signed up, you can check, and then if you have it, you can send you the link, you can look on the link on the website, you can check out the on there, you fill it out, and then you can see them.
So do you have to register every year, or is
every year?
Every year you have to register. Oh. And after the nurse does their assessment, they'll come in, and if they don't feel like they need to be seen by the doctor, you know, they'll just call mom and say, hey, just kind of sort of go, or just go ahead and go home. We're not going to send them to the doctor every time they come. So we have to make those assessments when they're here. And they're not seen all the time. So they might see 30 patients a day and only 3 may be referred to the doctor, you know, just to get events.
What's your student's name?
FedEx. It doesn't take long. Let's just say that student came into the office and needed to be seen. Mom's like, oh, I forgot to sign up. It doesn't take but 10 minutes. They'll send a link from the company to your phone and you just register. And then they'll be able to talk to you right then and there.
Like, I can give them a link right now. If you are going to do something, like, you are recommend something, and as a parent, we say, no, we don't want to do, they'll do that.
That's right. Before they even get seen by the doctor, they have to ask for their permission. They have to call you. Even though you sign and register, we're just not going to call the doctor. We're going to call you first.
Yeah.
Because you may say, no, I'd rather just take to my own PCP. I'm good. I'm here, we're fixing to go to Victoria, and we say, okay, it's fine.
Yeah.
So they can't be seen by the doctor unless they make a phone call.
Or like if, like last year, they wanted to do a cold test and I denied it, and they don't force you. That was one of the biggest reasons we wanted to go with the Inside Health, is to like give everybody those options instead of being like, we don't have to do that. We don't have to have. We want to put the right choice back into the parents.
One of the things y'all might want to think about as well is maybe at a PTO, set out a table for Good Side Health. They can also come and register you. You just need to let me know and I can get Monica Davis here.
You just talked to her.
Did you talk to her? Yeah, she's our new lead over Region 3. So if you want her, you just let me know and I can have her come to the next PTO meeting. She'll set up a table. And when parents come to the PTO meeting, she'll register them there. Oh, y'all have PTOs?
Sorry, what I was thinking about was setting up health fair.
There you go.
Like in the spring, I know they've done it at Bloomington. I haven't been able to be involved in the past 2 years that I have here because of COVID and everything.
Yeah.
But I thought that would be a good way to really get the information out there.
That's kind of good out there, but if you want anyone to be targeted this year, I want to do it a little bit sooner because April's already May and the school's out, we'll have to re-register again for next year.
Any more questions about Good Side Health or anything? Nurse Shanna is nurse at Placido. She's not here today, but everything's going well there too. She's done with all of her screenings, immunizations are caught up, and so she's been able to focus a lot more on monthly education topics and really getting out and being active with the kids. If y'all haven't had a chance and you have kids there, you should go look at all of her bulletin board and everything. She's very creative.
I have a question about like when the kids come home with like there's somebody in the class that has bugs.
Yes.
I know they can't put the child's name, but if the parent, the child that has the bugs, the parent, do y'all notify the child?
Yes, we do. Okay. So there are two separate letters that go home. There's the classroom letter that we send home, and that goes home to all of the kiddos. Not personalized, and then there's a packet of information and the letter directly to the parent for that student. And then we make a phone call and we tell mom, you know, tell mom or dad, tell them what's going on, and then we offer to help.
Oh, that's true. Don't take my kids down the bed. That's what the shy thing is about.
Yes,
is when you look at it, ask those questions.
So you'll understand what school health is all about.
Yeah. So I guess we're going to move on to kind of the elephant in the room and talk about the new sex ed curriculum that we have to implement this year. So, Missy, I might need your help on this because I reviewed Becky. Nurse Becky was nice enough to share a PowerPoint from a presentation that she went to. Was it Waco?
In Waco.
So basically, it's our job as a shack to pick the curriculum, and we don't have a choice. We have to do something. And so it's our job as a shack, as parents, and as everyone that represents this community to decide what we want to do, whether we want to pick a curriculum or whether we want to pick a textbook or if we want to make something up on our own.
There's only one curriculum that can be taught.
Is that
and that's the good side, the good something. So this past May,
Good Heart, Well Heart,
that's the only one that can be taught.
Well, in the PowerPoint, it did say that.
And that is a real good health program because there's a buy-in program. for those topics that are more sensitive that parents can say, yes, I want my child to talk about teen dating violence, sexual assault, and things like that. And it's a really good program. BISD just voted, their SHAC just voted to implement this one as well.
Yes. So it's like an elective class?
No, it's
called
an health class.
Oh. It's,
so,
yeah, in-house
class. One of the things that was passed over in Austin under Texas legislation. We hadn't done this in many, many years. We had changed the curriculum for sex ed in school. So there's a difference when people get a little bit confused about sex education in the classroom account and also having someone that just comes in and speaks about sex as a speaker. So sex education has to be taught in the health class and there has to be a curriculum that is presented to the students. Well, there's only now one curriculum that was passed by the state of Texas. There was several of them that were presented to them up in Austin, the congressmen and all those, they read them and they looked at them. It was a long, long decision making because some were a little bit more elaborate than others. I mean, it's a pretty big curriculum. So the only one that was passed at the very last down to the minute before we voted, it was the good side.
The good heart, well, heart.
There you go. That's the name. So that's the only person I keep on saying good side health because that's the name.
Yeah. Is that because it's SBOE approved?
Yes.
And the other two. So there are other two that meet 100% of the TEKS, but they're not approved.
They're not approved to be taught in Texas. So that's the only one that we can even buy, any school district can buy. It's our job now for the SHAC. Once the school district buys this curriculum, then the SHAC has to read it and look over it and look at the films. If there's films, it's mainly more book. And so we had to sit down and read the whole book of what it is. The new changes for the sex ed was back in the day, you would have to opt out. Now it's an opting in. And that's the difference between it. We looked at it. It still teaches abstinence.
It's so pretty even rude. Though it was approved by the state, it was still up to y'all if y'all wanted it. In the curriculum?
No. You guys have to approve it. Okay. You guys have to read it now and look at the whole book and say, okay, well, we like this. Like, this can, if something has to be taught. Mm-hmm. So y'all have to look at it and say, yes, we do. No, we don't. This piece we're going to leave out. This piece we may not leave out, but that curriculum has to be taught. Mm-hmm. It follows all the TEKS. It follows everything that's required by the state of Texas to teach in health. But you guys now have to read it. Once you read
and
it,
the good,
come back.
And the good thing about this curriculum is that anytime that it changes, it has to go back through to be approved by the TEKS. So they will notify everybody when if it changes. So it looks like a good one that'll stick around that isn't going to be changing anytime soon.
So if some people say yes, some people say no, then we don't want to do that. How does it go? The pieces are going to be left out. The sex part of it is going to be left out if you don't agree with it. Yeah. Well, or your students are not going to come to it, or whatever students, parents can help them to that particular, we'll have to remove them from the classroom.
So they can opt into specific parts of it.
Because there's sex trafficking,
right.
There's other things that's in this whole book, abstinence, sex trafficking, and
everything. Puberty, menstruation, anatomy, and reproduction, abstinence, contraception, STI, healthy relationships, and sex trafficking.
So are we going to be sending out notifications that next week this topic is going to be taught if you don't want your kid to participate?
There should be a letter. Once you guys look at it, you read it, you say, oh, it's okay, I like it, let's come back and vote. We come back to the SHAC meeting because normally there's only four SHAC meetings throughout the year, but we had to do more this past couple years just because we had to come back and do an addendum for us to vote for it. Once you say we've approved it, teachers can now teach this. Hold on, we gotta step one back. Once they approve it, we have to make it public for the parents to be able to see it online as well. Once you guys approve it, so that they can say, I don't want my kid in that classroom because I don't even know what grade y'all teach up there. Eighth.
Yeah. So if the parents don't want their child not even in that class, they have another elective where they can still get grade
after. No, they will always have to take help. They'll just be removed from that particular day that they're going to be teaching that week of sex ed. I don't know how long it's going to take because it'll be sex trafficking, abstinence. You may want to have them read up on sex trafficking
And it's not going to interfere with their grade. Oh, he didn't come this week. No, no, no.
So on this notification letter that we have to send out, is that a one-time thing? Or is
it a one-time thing?
Okay.
So but the way they were going to do it in at BISD, right before they were going to teach the sex ed portion of it, like 2-3 weeks, that's when she was going to send out the letters. Hey, I need your permission form. Can your kid come? If we don't receive it, they can't come in. So they have to opt in and not opt out. I don't even know what that really means, because whether they're out or in, you're either going to come or you're not going to come. So
I like the permission form. Yeah, it's going to have the signed form on file and to participate. The parent agrees you're going to need the signature.
Yes. One of the things that they did ask in our meetings and just other meetings that I've gone to, some people wanted to know in the region, can we put this every year on our registration? And that was a no.
Oh, wow.
Sex ed cannot be at registration. It cannot be as a permission form. You know how you sign?
Yeah.
Can you go to the principal's office or whatever else?
So you're just going to send it every, when the kids in seventh grade, is this seventh grade?
Eighth graders.
Every year for the new 8th graders.
Yep. Okay. Right before we teach the health.
Can it be sent in the same system as registration then, but not part of it?
Yes. Yeah. But it just can't be at registration. Right. Yeah. So however you send out permission forms, it can be in that same system. It just has to be on its own.
Okay.
Yeah. And we checked that with the lawyers from Austin. So that was one of the things that we checked on.
So it looks like in the PowerPoint that you sent me, it says that the recommendation is to have a form that says, yes, I give consent, and no, I do not give consent, in order to track non-responders.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And so it's up to the health teacher who's teaching this to really keep up with it, because she's going to be the one that has to look at the form and the list. And it was down to the last minute. It was down to the last minute of the kids. Okay.
So it sounds like it's going to be a really comprehensive form. It sounds like we need to have basically a list of all of the subjects that are going to be taught, and then a yes or a no for the parents to initial next to the subjects.
If you want that one.
And then we'll have to develop some kind of way to keep track of whether the kids want the parents to go to
the boxes they check all.
Okay.
Majority of all the parents want their children to learn about this. Because if you're really, really think about it, social media, your child probably already knows about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They've already seen it somewhere.
Correct.
We want to give them the correct information and be able to provide that for them. So we kind of encourage that, parents, to just kind of spread the word out there. I mean, there's going to be some parents that just say, no, I don't want my child to even know about sex. I want to teach them about that, you know? I know that I taught my daughter, and she was like, no more, Mom. But I'm a nurse, you know? Yeah. Gotta tell you. And I'm like, why do you have to be so explicit about it? But some parents just don't feel comfortable, and it's better for them to be taught the correct way. And the everything, once you read the book, I mean, it's just, it's detailed, but it's pretty big. Has anybody bought the curriculum here in Bloomington, Tennessee?
I looked
for it. Yeah. It has to be available online for them, for parents to view it. And we don't just put it online for them, for everybody to view it. They have to call you. You give them an option, and if you're interested in viewing it, then we'll send you the link. So we just don't have it out there, because guess what? Then every kid's going to get on that link.
So this curriculum is just the sex ed portion of help.
Okay.
Yeah, because like in 8th grade, our 8th graders take help on Ingenuity with
yes.
the teacher, so they can get high school credit. This would just be part of the class.
Yes.
And then, okay.
Yeah.
So basically, our next step is going to be to purchase the curriculum, start looking over it. We have to develop the information. Form. Those are two separate forms, right? There's going to be a consent form and there's going to be a notification.
Yes.
Okay.
And we need to make just somewhere on the website, somewhere saying once they approve it and then it's out there, then if any parent would like to view it, we will send you the link, because it has to go straight to the parent. It can't go
kid. Mm-hmm. We just don't want to post it on the website. Here's the link that every kid will be watching.
In case you're giving on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is it a book? I mean, is the curriculum online? How is the curriculum? Like, what kind of in a book? We saw it in a book. I'm sure it is online. It's a pretty thick book. And I mean, it goes through everything, the teeth, what you need to teach, and
yeah,
how to the wording, how to say it, what not to say, try not to go off the wording from it. They did recommend that if students did have questions at the time in the classroom, you know, of course, don't answer them in front of anybody else. Tell them that we'll have that conversation. If the question was a little bit too much information we're going to have to provide for them, we need to have a conversation with the parents and see if we can have that conversation and then refer them over to a counselor. Never speak to them alone that you're giving up professional sex education to someone one-on-one. That was one of the things they recommended. Just kind of said, you know, we'll need to just ask your mom, or we're going to need to have that conversation with mom to let her know.
Yes.
You were with us at the meeting, weren't you, in BISC?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You were there.
Have you seen the curriculum?
No.
You didn't get to see it. Good.
So is it a curriculum or is it just a textbook?
Well, it's the curriculum's in the textbook.
Okay.
I mean, it's the teeth and everything are in there. How to present it, how to teach it. And you were one of them that talked about how you did the permission forms and so forth. So she's familiar with the forms.
Okay.
What are you teaching? Did she teach?
I'm a counselor at the hospital.
There you go. That's me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's been all the permission forms.
I would say it's very, very needed because a lot of our students who are being sexually active have no idea.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. That's why it was passed. I think they said it's been over 20-some-odd years since they passed the sex ed curriculum. It's been a long time. They had to just because of the numbers of teen pregnancy and sexually active, sexually transmitted diseases that were out there. That's why they had to bring in a curriculum for them to be taught. And the thing of it is one of, you know, there was a lot of parents there in the meeting because, I mean, Toyota's pretty big. Like, to have a SHAC meeting, it's almost like two room pools of parents. There's so many schools there. You know, every time I went, there was just so many parents. And some of them were say, well, I don't want my child to be taught that in school, you know, or, you know, we tried to reiterate, I can promise you at the lunch table, little Susie's going to be telling little
in the locker room,
they're going to be saying, and you want to give them that right information, you know, like,
you know, that, or they have a computer.
That's right. Or hand. Social media. That's what we told them. You know, they're going to either know it through social media, some type of phone, some type of internet. If they have a phone, they have easy access to anything. We don't want them to be on that phone looking at anything they're not supposed to be looking at. But anyway, so
on the social media, there's incorrect information.
Exactly.
That's the main thing, is that we can supply.
Yes.
The correct
information. Yeah. And these congressmen that were voting for it, we were on the ticker when they were voting, and there was a big fight. Like, they were fighting for the children. Like, it was scaring me, and I'd never been in one of those things before. Like, this what you vote for? When these people go to Austin and vote, everybody was mad. And it was like they read that curriculum to the detail, and it came down to, we can't teach our children. One of the things they did leave out in the curriculum was LGBTQ. That's one of the things they're like, that was the last thing that they fought for at the end.
Yeah. And there's a question mark now. Yeah.
They weren't going to teach that in health. Okay. So there is just only one curriculum they can use. They can't use it. You can't deviate from the one that was sold out. There was one in Tyler, Scott and White, that was presented in the past. People were trying to buy that one. You just can't use any other one because it was a law that was passed. That was the only thing that could be used.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, we do have people that come in as counselors that come in and speak about sex education. Sometimes they come like after school or something, or they come in for a program. That's something totally different.
Yeah, we're doing like some
additional program. Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's another parent permission form. I'll have that on after school kind of thing, but that's not the curriculum that has to be taught.
That makes it a lot easier then.
Yeah. And if you don't want that lady to come after school to come and do that, you don't have to because it's being taught now. It covers pretty much everything.
Are there any questions, any concerns? So that will be our next step is purchasing the curriculum and reviewing it and making this form.
So they had to develop a subcommittee because not everybody wanted to read the curriculum because it's pretty big. So they needed like 3 or 4 people to say, okay, we're going to come after school and read this whole thing. So that they did have to vote on. They wanted to volunteer. I do not. I've already read it. It really has to come from the parents. The parents have to come in and read it and get an administrator with them.
I don't think we have enough to vote today.
Yes, I read it and it is a really long curriculum, and but it gives great topics. And yeah, I sat on the VISD subcommittee and it was a lot. And it took us weeks before all parents were on board with this curriculum.
So like if they vote this year, how it works, make sure you have to vote again or they're gonna keep it next year. No. And it for how long?
Until so they voted it, yeah.
Until there's a new curriculum. So every year we have to come in and just see if they've made any changes. The SHAC committee has to attend another meeting next year and say, okay, we're still using the same curriculum. Everybody agreed because they may be different members. So if you three don't show up and 3 new parents show up, then they have to read that curriculum.
And if they don't agree, we'll decide like what's the new from next step.
So the lady who's speaking right now on the
Stafford. Angie.
Where's she from?
Victoria County Health Department.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Okay, great. Yeah. It's pretty thick, right? Takes a long time.
Because when we were trying to go through it, they gave us online access to go through every topic and then all the buy-in topics as well.
Yeah. Oops. It's a long process, mm-hmm. And it has to be taught this year.
This year?
See, this was all supposed to be taken care of. Like, the last day for this to have been approved was like July 31st. Like, that's why it was supposed to be completed throughout last summer, and it was going on since last year. And then they voted in April. I think we went to that meeting in April, right? No, it was in March, February, March, and then everything was cleared away. And maybe because everything had to be started on this school year. But of course, you don't teach that throughout the whole school year. You only teach it in that one particular week or two.
Yeah.
So you still have time. It just has to be done. I don't know time for teachers because I know you're all busy. Mm-hmm. You probably already have your whole lesson plans for the whole year.
So, if there aren't any more questions or concerns, anything else that doesn't regard regarding that topic?
So who buys the curriculum for you guys? Just the administrators?
Mm-hmm. We have email for curriculum, but I was trying to figure out because at one thing I worried was that there were going to be funds available, but I guess we just use email money to buy. My guess.
She's looking at me like,
anything else?
This is where I ask about the concerns about the basketball goal.
Yes, and I wrote that down.
Okay, so
more balls.
More play equipment, yeah. Just play equipment. Because there's like second grade all up to fifth grade, and you look at the playground equipment. I guarantee that the creators are just not playing on that equipment. And then basketball is good. Basketball is good for them, but it's just working, just hanging.
Yeah, that's a safety issue too.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? Questions, concerns?
It's at Bloomington, maybe Placido Elementary School, PES, playground.
Mm-hmm.
Is it open?
During.
It says the Placido Elementary School playground will be open outside of the school day when not in use for school-related events for the community use.
Probably because it's a separate, it's fenced off separately.
Oh, okay.
So they can't get into the school otherwise.
So are we able to ask for like the Bloomington Elementary?
I think that'll help.
Okay.
There are no other further questions or concerns. We will go ahead and adjourn the meeting.
Okay.
Thank you.
You need to go sign your